Accession number 17570, reel 3.
Mr. Klishevich, reel 3.
So, I pick up my rifle, and it looks that I want to hit him in the head. He didn't know, he didn't say a word. He looked for me, and then he left me. When we came to the camp...
You didn't hit him?
No, I didn't hit him. I just made a gesture that I want to hit him, but I didn't touch him. About half an hour after we came to the camp, I was asked to come to Sergeant Major's tent. I came there. There were about 7 sergeants sitting around. The sergeant manager said, "Listen, you were trying to hit one of sergeants with your rifle. I must report you to the major." I said, "Oh, that was I want ask you to do, that to report me to the major. I want to see major. Why? Doesn't matter. I want to see major. You sent me to the major. Why was? And I said, no, it doesn't matter. No, so." "Oh, no, no, tell us, you see, you are so good soldier, and so on, you're nice, and so, why you want to see major?" So then I said, "Okay. Why didn't we have, Sergeant Major, can you tell me why we had no breakfast this morning?" "Oh, I told you that there was, we have no more provisions." "So, did you eat breakfast?" "No, we didn't eat breakfast." I said, "You, this lie. You ate. Because you were all sitting around near your tent, and you had a lot of food. You have everything. You have bread, you have sugar, you have tea, then something else." "No, yes, because you see, we that we are not eating everything before." So then, yes, you know, it's not true. And then, do you remember during the night you went to came to our position and check everything is all right?" I said, "Yes." "And who else come? Come in." I said, then came Major. He said, "Yes. What did you talk about?" "Well, he asked me everything is all right." So he said, "Okay. What else?" "Don't remember." "So did he ask you about breakfast? Don't you remember? Do you remember? You don't remember what you what was your answer? He asked you, do you have breakfast for all soldiers?" You said, "Yes." "And remember, sugar as well." And you said, "Yes, sir." You forgot about it. "Oh, Klishevich, you know, and so on. Ah, you are so nice. And then let's forget about everything, you see. No, we are not, we don't want to see Major. And it's, all of them start begging me, you see, to forget." "All right." So I went back to my tent. About 20 minutes, half an hour later, one of the sergeants came to the tent and bringing big parcel. "It's for you and for your friends." "What is this?" "Oh, never mind. It's for you. And before evening, I bring you sugar as well." Inside there was a few loads of bread, fish, there was something else, you see. A big parcel. And well, from that time, they all were my friends, those sergeants. Now, one day, commanding officer called me. I said, listen, as you already know, some of soldiers are going to, were told that they are going to the officer school, how do you say in English?
Officers training unit?
Not unit, but school, normal, you see. You have to stay a year or so in school.
Cadet college?
Cadet college. I said, well, and I want you to go. I said, sorry, but I don't want to be an officer. Why? Because I don't want to be an officer. Perhaps you are afraid that you don't know anyone there, that you will be alone, and so on. So I know that you have a friend here. He has no qualifications to go to this officer's school, but he will go with you. I said, no. Well, you know that we are not asking in the Red Army. We are telling what to do. And there is no answer, no. But as you know, I like you very much. And I don't want to harm you. So think about it. And come again to see me. Okay. His deputy was a Georgian. He was a handsome man. Unfortunately, as far as soldiers, he was the worst man you can desire. He was
a captain?
No, the word sadist. When we had gymnastics or something else, we were falling down, you see. So he had no heart. He was doing that, you see, satisfaction for him to make other people unhappy. Now on Sunday, 22nd of June, our commander came to us and said, listen, there is a war. German invaded Russia. We all camp is now have now meeting, and we will listen what our commander will say. So we came all together, and that the commanding officer said, this morning the German dogs invaded Russia, and so on and so on and so on. You see, and now we are going to fight them. The same in the late afternoon, we went back toward Tikhorest. During the night, we came to our quarters. In the morning, I was walking from one tent to another. And I noticed this sergeant is coming towards me. I saw that man first time, and you know, he's a small man. And he came near me and said, Klishevich? I said, yes. I would like to talk to you. Yeah? I will tell you shortly. I want you to join the party. What party? Communist party. Yes. Who is that man? Same? He said, "Ah, you are looking at me and you think that I am an idiot. No, you don't look on my
color.
I am in a very high position in the Communist Party."
That's his badges of rank.
Yes, but I was sergeant only. And in this unit, the commander officer is listening to me, not I to him. Oh, I said, "Well, so you don't know me, you see me first time, and you ask me to join the party?" I said, "What do you like to know, to tell me about you? You have you know everything about the rifle, about the gun. You march like a soldier. You had a trouble with the commanding officer about the medallion. And you prove that you are right, not he. Political meetings. Half an hour political officer, half an hour Klishevich. That rifle over the sergeant. And there is something else I don't remember. Oh, it looks that they knew everything about me." And I said, "Well," I said, "now I'm waiting. He will tell me that my mother is from Siberia, my stepfather in Palestine." But he didn't know about it. He said, "What? So, you see?" I said, "Well, if you know that I am Christian, Catholic, devoted, if you know that I am Polish patriot, if you know that I am against communism and other things, how can you ask me to join the party? We need people like you. If you are not afraid to talk about communism in the middle of the Russia, you will work for us. We give you everything." I said, "Well, listen, Sergeant. If you ask me to join the Komsomol, that was for the youth party, perhaps I would say, well, I joined. But Communist Party, it is so big honor that I can't stay away. I'm shot." "Oh, don't worry. We have a time. I will be always near you though. And if you need anything, you come to me. Everything will be there." Okay. So next day, we went to the railway station, and then we traveled to the front. Day after, We were, of course, we were those beautiful wagons, cattle wagons. They were hot as all the time. So those people who had chance to sit, the doors were open in the wagons, who could sit in that door opened. So he was happy. So when we stopped on one station, and then that to the our wagon came, that Georgian lieutenant, our deputy commander. He went inside, sat about near me, and when the train started moving, he said, would you mind to do me a favor? He's talking about favor for him. I said, well, if I can, of course I can. You whistle me this Great Pole's Strausser waltz? I said, yes. But I during the free time, I used to walk around the camp and whistle waltzes, some Strauss waltzes. I like very much Strauss waltzes. So I whistled that waltz. He said, thank you very much. And after a while, you all hate me. Well, yes. But as far as I have not that feeling. I don't say that I like you, but I can say that I hate you. And you were quite right. I was a sadist. And you, no one knows why. I tell you. I am the son of the richest man in Tbilisi. Tbilisi, it is Georgia. My father is a doctor. We are very important family before communists, and still are. I have a beautiful fiancée, and they forced me to join the army. I hate them. I hate the army, I hate the Russians. And that was the reason, you see, that I was so bad towards all of you. But you will see, I will change. You will see our commanding officer already is changing. He was very nice before. You will see how bad he will be now. But I will be quite different man now. And then he started to talk about family. He said, I have a brother. My brother is captain. He was in Lviv, Poland, where I was studying. And I know a lot about Poland. I know a lot about the life in Poland before the war. And so on and so on. And then he said, if you need anything, remember that I am your friend, come to me and I will help you. So now I have two friends. Well, we unloaded near Smolensk, in Smolensk forests, famous from cutting. Then during the night we were occupying, especially our unit who was in front always. And during the day we were staying in the forest because German planes were all the time. Yeah. Now, I would like to say one thing, that we were not prepared to fight. We never had one shot, you see, from our guns. I don't know how they started to shoot later on and how it looks, but anyway, it was hopeless. Now, we were staying about 3 weeks in the forest, and we were all the time told that the Germans are far away, or about 120 kilometers, 100 kilometers, and so on. Now, one evening, I noticed that we are nearly, it looks like that we are under gunfire from the other side, from German side. So I asked our commanding officer, I said, what is the matter? Oh, nothing, that's all right, it's our artillery. I said, well, it is our artillery, why don't we hear when they're starting to shoot over our heads? Yes, because you can hear that bullets are flying. No, this is everything all right. So I went to my Georgian lieutenant, I said, ask him. He said, listen, we can't tell you what's the matter. I tell you, but the others. There are Germans. I said, well, if there are Germans, why don't you tell us? You know what will happen when those troops come near us. It is about 200-300 meters from us. Yes? And we still think that it is our artillery. I don't know, we are not shouting, it's not our artillery, because we are not doing anything. We should take part in it, yes? Anyway, after 3 weeks, we were all people from the Poland, from Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, were asked to soldiers asked to go to gather together. We were told to leave our guns, rifles, and ammunition. The first time we got few pieces of ammunition when we were on front, and everything else to take our private possessions and come back. Then we were divided according to the nationalities, Poles, Ukrainians, and others. And then we marched to the railway station, and off we went. We went to Moscow, then from Moscow to the town known as Rostov, and then we stayed there a few days, and one day, it was on the 31st of July, one of our officers, they were all Russians with us, came and said, listen, shortly you finish with the Red Army, you are going to the Polish Army. There was an agreement signed between Polish government in London and our government. The Polish Army we will have Polish Army in Russia, and you will join them. No, so we were very happy.
And this is at Rostov?
This is Rostov on Don, because there are two Rostovs. One is Ukrainian on the south. It is not far from that place, Tihorets, that we were staying before. But after 3 days, we are asked to pack up, and because we are going somewhere. I asked where we are going. We don't know where we are going. I said, well, we are going to the Polish army. We don't know anything about the Polish army. So we walked about, 20, 30 kilometers from Rostov. That was the place where they're working in the forests, cutting wood and then sending that wood in different places where that wood was, they needed that wood. We stayed there a few weeks. Then we were moved to those kolkhoz. This is a big farm. Collective farm. We were working in that kolkhoz about 2 weeks. Then we were moved to another place, again, 2-3 weeks. Then one day we came back, we came to Gorky. Outside Gorky there was a camp where there was 7th division. And soldiers from that division were sent to front where they needed. One day, when we came back during dinner time to the camp, I went to my tent, and I said, there is old bearded man lying near my place. He looks like a bandit. I didn't send anything to him. But because I was rather, hungry, I tried to find a piece of bread that I had, but I couldn't find it. So I said to my friends, I can't find my bread. And that man, old man, said, what did you say? I said, nothing. What did you say? Well, I said that there is no, my bread disappeared. They said, what? There are thieves who are taking other people's bread? You know what that means? If I find the person who is stealing bread, it will be his last day. I am thief and bandit, but we are not stealing bread.
He admitted he was a bandit?
Yes. And then he said, listen, I was sent to you to look after you. So you know now who I am.
Who sent him?
Russians, army. Because I didn't say before that we were divided in the groups, 120 and 60. And then each group had a representative who could talk to a commanding officer and those others.